Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints. Welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I'm blessed and I'm privileged, Saints. I'm very privileged and I'm highly favored to have another opportunity to come and speak life to you today. We're excited about being a part of the family of God, and I want to send greetings to all of our members and all of the nations of the earth, that the Spirit of God will be present and active in your lives today, for we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a chosen people. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light to proclaim the praises of him who has called us into his kingdom. So we thank God today. We give him praise and glory and honor. Today, Saints, we're going to be talking about the peace and power of the Holy Spirit. The peace and power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be looking at the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 11, as a foundational text for this week's message. So I pray that you have your Bible, your paper, pencils, that you will be prepared to take notes and study along with us. We always encourage you to do this so that you can search the scriptures to see whether the things that we say are so or not. So we're talking about the peace and power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to say that with me, the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at our foundational text that we're going to be using for today's message. It's coming from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's read that together, and then we'll get a word of prayer in. Romans 8, verse 11 reads, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor today. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you for every believer who's listening to this message around the world. We thank you for every member of the priesthood that are around the world today. We thank you for those who are coming to know you, who are listening to this broadcast around the world. And we give you glory and honor for their salvation, for provision in their life. We thank you today, Father, for healing and manifestation of your glory in their presence. We thank you that we'll worship you in word and in deed today. So receive our praise, receive our acclamation of glory as we ascribe worth to you today, as we recognize that you alone are sovereign, you alone are God. Yahweh El Elyon, Jehovah, our Lord. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, thanks for welcoming you to our Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. And our title for our broadcast comes from the book of Genesis, where it says, as long as the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest. And so if you're listening to this broadcast today, the earth is remaining. And that means that there is a season of seed time and harvest that is continuing to be manifested in your life. Now, today, again, we're going to be talking about the peace and power of the Holy Spirit. And we're using Romans chapter 8, verse 11 as the foundational text for this week's message. And so I want us to really think about what the Apostle Paul was saying to the church in Rome as he proclaimed these words to them on this day. And I want you to know also that the same God that Paul proclaimed, the same words or the Spirit that he spoke about, is the same Spirit that is available to us today. Each and every one of us who are listening to this message can have life in the Spirit, the same as the Apostle Paul was saying to the early believers here in this text. So if you want to read the entirety of Paul's message in context, read the entire chapter 8 of Romans, and you'll get a better idea. Now, we'll start at verse number 1, and we'll read down to 11, but I encourage each and every one of you to go ahead and read the entire chapter, and if you want to get that chapter in context, read the entire book of Romans to get the complete understanding of Paul's overall message to the church in Rome, and what you understand is God's message to us even today. So let's begin reading at verse number 1 of Romans chapter 8, which talks about life in the Spirit. And so this whole chapter is dealing with the different ways that the believers can experience the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So the apostle begins in verse 1 by saying, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death." Verse 3, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh," that is Jesus, "in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Verse 5, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Let's stop right there for a moment. We see, as the apostle is writing to the believers in Rome, and I pray as your hearts and minds have been opened to the message of the Holy Spirit today, that you likewise will experience life through the Spirit. Paul talked about the difference between a life in the flesh and a life in the Spirit. He says in the first verse that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means each and every one of us who have placed our faith, our hope, our trust, who have given our obedience to Jesus Christ and his teachings and his life and his ministry as our example, there is now no condemnation to any of us who are in Christ Jesus. And as a result of the fact, or some of the benefits that come from not having condemnation, is to have the liberty of the Lord. It is to have the peace of the Lord. It is to have the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord at work in our lives. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying to the church in Rome, and this is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us today who are listening by the sound and hearing of my voice. He says, "Since that we are no longer under condemnation because we are in Christ, there is a law that has went into effect for us." And he calls this law in verse 2 the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit. He said, "And the law of the Spirit gives life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Because the law was powerless to do some things, but life in the Spirit gives us power to do all things through Christ who strengthens us." Somebody said, "Life in the Spirit." Yes, today we're talking about the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're taking a look at Romans chapter 8 as Paul is speaking to the church in Rome. So seeing that we are in Christ Jesus, we have no condemnation. We have another law that went into effect for us, the law of the Spirit that has given us life and has set us free from the law of sin and death. So Paul went on to say that we have this life because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, that God sent his Son Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, Jesus took upon himself our sins, past, present, and future. Jesus took upon the likeness of sinful flesh, our sins. And then when he died, he condemned sin in the flesh. He paid the penalty for the sins that we have committed, past, present, and future, as long as we are in Christ Jesus. So therefore, Paul says, "And I say to you, thanks God, that we no longer live according to the flesh that Christ has died to free us from. We're no longer condemned by the sins that we commit in our flesh as we have repented and turned to Jesus and forsaking our old ways. and thus gives us life through the Spirit. So now Paul went on to continue in verses 5 that you read, that says, so those of us now who live according to this new law, with law is that same thing to God, those now who live according to the law of the Spirit, we have our minds set on what the Spirit desires and not what the flesh desires. And this brings us into a life of peace. Verse 7, he picks up again. He says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody said, in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. Somebody said, the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And then we get to our foundational text. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Oh, thank the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit gives us life and peace. And this is why the power of the Holy Spirit is essential to living a victorious, successful life of obedience in worship and service unto God. And so as we see that the Apostle Paul explained to the church in Rome about being in Christ Jesus and the fact that God raised him and allowed him to die in the flesh in order to free us from sin and the condemnation that comes along with sin. Therefore, we are free to enjoy life in the Spirit. But we cannot enjoy life without the Spirit. And this is why we can only enjoy the type of life that Jesus promised. That says, I came to that you may have life. And that you may have life more abundantly. We must embrace this life through the Spirit. And this is why we're talking today about the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's understand a little bit more about why people should place their faith and trust in Christ. How do you get this life in Christ? By placing your faith and your trust in Him. But why? Why should you place your faith and trust in this man Jesus? What makes us believe that He has the power to bring about the perfect will and the plan of God in our lives? If you're taking notes, I want you to make note of a few scriptures with me. I want you to make note of Luke chapter 1, verse 35, which tells us of the promise that Jesus would indeed be conceived of the Spirit of God, therefore becoming the Son of God. If you take a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we'll see where it reads, the angel answered and said to her, being Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. So this answers any questions that we might have about why we refer to Jesus as the Son of God. He was conceived by God's Spirit, and therefore, when he was born of the Spirit of God. Therefore, he is the Son of God. Let's take a look at another scripture in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Let's see what happened as a result of him being born of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, ministering in the Spirit. Because if the Spirit of Christ is no more powerful than the spirit of condemnation and sin, then we are simply believing in vain. First Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, and Jesus, the one who was the Son of God, said, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through all the surrounding districts. So we see that not only did the Holy Spirit come upon Mary, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, but then it gave birth to the Son Jesus, who, as we see here in Luke 4, says he returned to Galilee in the power that conceived him, in the power of the Spirit. Someone said to me, the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. Let's take a look at another scripture in Luke 24, verse 49. And it says this, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father. This is Jesus' words to his disciples. Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power. Someone send me power. With power from on high. So here, the one that was conceived of the Spirit of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as we read in Luke chapter 1, the one who returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and the news spread throughout the region about him, is making the promise to his early believers, and the same promise is available and is spoken to each of us today, that, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So let's turn to now Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where we'll see the promise that Jesus spoke about here being fulfilled in the life of the believers. And this is why we must receive the peace and power of the Holy Spirit if we are going to be successful in life and victorious in life. We're going to be obedient to the call of God. We also must receive the same Spirit which has been promised here in this verse. Now we take a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We see the fulfillment of this promise. When Jesus said, the scripture says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And if we look at Acts chapter 2, we see how the Spirit of God manifested in their lives. We see the Spirit of God, just as Jesus promised, came upon the lives of believers, and we see that their lives were changed, their lives were rearranged, that their witness became effective, that fear had been banished, and they realized what Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. Why now they can stand in the face of persecution. They understood why they could stand in the face of accusations. They understood why they could overcome fear and walk in faith. And Paul explained that very same thing to the church in Rome. And that is because there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So once they were filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit which conceived Jesus Christ into the earth, the same Spirit that gave Jesus power of the Spirit, the same Spirit who said that we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and other most parts of the world, the same promise that Jesus made that we must wait upon this promise until we are clothed with power. How many of you today, saints of God, have received or awaiting the promise that God has spoken to all of those who follow after him today? Today we're talking about the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why you get peace is because he is the Prince of Peace. God is not the author of confusion. Confusion is not of God's Spirit. Fear is not of God's Spirit, Paul says to another young minister, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power, he's given us joy, and he's given us a sound mind. Somebody said the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. I need it in my life. I want it in my life. I ask to receive it in my life. And I ask to receive it based on this condition, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And I ask to receive this promise that Jesus promised all those who are in him. So you notice that in Romans chapter 8 again, that there is no condemnation, not just for everyone, but there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, those of you who are seeking to follow after his way and his will, those of us who are submitted to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit who conceived Jesus. The Spirit who caused Jesus to walk in the power of the Spirit. The same Spirit that was promised, that will come from on high. The same one that will make us witnesses in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Today, I pray in the name of Jesus that we receive the self-same Spirit and the peace and the power that accompanies it. Glory, hallelujah. So, children of God, I pray that as we examine these portions of Scripture, that our spirit within us will be stirred to excitement, that a new passion, a renewed passion, a continual passion, and a refreshing of the Lord will come upon our lives. For we, just as they who these words were spoken to in the text, are to receive the self-same Spirit so that we can be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. But we, as they had to, must await the power of the Holy Spirit. We, as they, must be clothed with power from on high. And once you receive the power of God, you receive the peace of God. You receive the peace that passes understanding. How many of you desire to have that in your life today? Hallelujah. How many desire to see other people around you in your life, your children, your spouses, maybe people on your job, maybe your neighbor, maybe those in government? Peace and power of the Holy Spirit. Let it reign over our lives today. This is what we're talking about as we examine this message about the peace and the power of God. I want each of us to earnestly desire that we may also walk in life in the Spirit, that we may have this life in the Spirit, where we can be effective witnesses for Christ, not only in our words, but in our deeds, in our actions. For faith without works is dead, thanks to God. Hallelujah. Want us to realize that if we have life in the Spirit, that means the Spirit of God that dwells in Jesus is the same Spirit that dwells in us even now. We know this because Jesus promised it in Luke 24 and 49. We see it was repeated again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, and you will receive power. Hallelujah. It did not say you may receive power. It said you will receive power when or after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, as it did upon Mary and upon Jesus, the Son of God. And then you will be his witnesses. In your Jerusalem, in your Judea, in your Samaria, and even to the remotest part of this earth, you will receive the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is my prayer. This is my understanding. This is my desire for each and every one of us. And this is also God's desire for us, that we enjoy this life in the Spirit that is free from condemnation, that we will enjoy our life of peace, that we will enjoy the fullness and the victories of God, that we will live a life, a God-filled life, where his anointing operates in, around, and through us. How many of you today, thanks to God, wherever you are around the world listening to my voice, this peace, this power that I'm speaking of only comes by the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why Jesus says, I'm going to send you another comforter to be with you, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance that I have spoken unto you. This is what we're talking about today, that each and every one of us, as children of God, through faith in Christ, can live life through the Spirit. That means that there is now no condemnation to us. We have a new law to obey, and that is the law of the Spirit, not the law of our flesh. The things that we could not do, should not do, and would not do in the flesh, we can, will, and we shall do as we obey the law of the Spirit, as we follow the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is how we fulfill the righteous requirement that God has for us, by living according to the Spirit, living life in the Spirit, having our minds set on the things of the Spirit. And therefore, saints, as we see in our foundational text, and if, hallelujah, somebody say, and if, all that we've spoken about today, all that we've seen in the text of scriptures that we've examined, Paul says in our foundational text, and if, that means if all the conditions with which we have spoken of thus far has been met, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you set your mind on the desires of the Spirit. So Paul says, and if, and I say to each and every one of you today, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Father, we thank you today for your glory and your peace, your power, and your presence. I thank you today, Father, for each person who's opening up their hearts and their minds now to receive this precious promise. I pray for each and every person who is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the Son of God, that God raised them from the dead. And therefore, Father, I ask that you will grant them forgiveness, that you will cleanse and renew and refresh them. Help them to realize and receive that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for the life and the Spirit that we have received as a result of that. So, Father, we confess and we believe that you are the Son of God. We believe that Christ, you have been risen from the dead. And we believe that you will give us life because of your Spirit that lives in us. In Jesus' name, we receive the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Holy Spirit.